Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. And I'm just going to cover some quick things before we get started. I just got back from Heroes Con, and yep, I got the con crud again. I think for the third straight year. I can't remember if it was Baltimore, but every year I get some kind of con crud, and this time I got it. Don't know if it's from the con or from the airplane, but I got sick. And hopefully I'll get over it faster than usual, because it usually takes me a month to get over this crud. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the commissions I got, which were really cool this year. I was very fortunate to get on some commission lists that were prior to the con, so that I had pieces actually waiting for me. I got on Mr. Drew Moss. Drew Moss has done me several commissions over the years. He's done me Shadow Man. He's done, let's see, what else has he done? Spectre, Phantom Stranger, Uncle Sam. What else did he do? I can't think. Think. He's done one other Valiant one for me, and maybe even one beyond that. So I've gotten several commissions from Drew Moss, and he had a pre-commission list, and I was lucky and fortunate enough to get on them. And he drew me a beautiful piece with three of my favorite DC characters, female characters. Wonder Woman, who's number one. My number two has always been like Big Barda. I mean, she doesn't show up a lot, but when she does show up, I just absolutely love her. And number three is Catwoman. Catwoman, I just love reading her comics. She's one of the characters that I wish always had an ongoing, because I just love it. I never do not like it. I just love the character Selina Kyle, and I love to see what they're doing with her in the supporting cast that she has. And I've loved every incarnation, even the New 52 one, which had some various changes which were incredible. But I got that commission. One thing I really love about that is the proportions of the women, the height, the sizes. It just looks amazing. So I got that commission, and then I also got on the pre-commission. I'm very lucky to get on this commission, because I was like one of the last ones to get on it, but it was Matt Kent. In Denver Comic Con, I don't know if it was the inaugural year, I think it was the year after the inaugural year. This is before Matt Kent had done like DC work. He did me a Big Barda commission at Denver Comic Con. And I was never able to get on a commission list because he doesn't usually do commissions at the cons, but, you know, he'll do sketches and stuff. But you could get on the pre-commission list, and I finally got on it. And I had a Scott Free Mr. Miracle done, amazing piece to go with my Big Barda, so I was really happy with that. I got another Wonder Woman sketch. This one I didn't plan on getting. But it looked like this lady was fast, and I liked her style. Her name was Amy Spaulding, and she did, like, color commissions. And she seemed to have a knack for, like, Golden Age, like DC, just by looking at her her prints and stuff. So I took a chance, and her commission was, a reasonable price for somebody like that. And I was really happy with that. It came out really nice as a Golden Age Wonder Woman. And I have one more from Andrew Peepoy that's still in the work. I have several Andrew Peepoy pieces. Just like I have Drew Moss's, I think six. What else did I talk about? I talked about, Matt Kent. I only have two, but I try to get more. And then the commission that I'm getting from is a Golden Age Jungle Girl, because I really like Golden Age comics. So he's gonna be working on that for me. He didn't have time at the con to do it because I was late, but hopefully he'll get me that piece soon so I can share it on Facebook. But that's my commission list. And then another thing I just want to quickly mention, besides like all my co-hosts, they're fucking amazing. And, you know, we spend a lot of time hanging out in the room, and just chatting and talking and having interesting conversations, and it was an absolute blast. And all my friends that I meet there, it's just amazing. It was good to see Claire and Micah again, and like Daryl and Campbell, they're just like family to me. All these people are, and Bill Bomer. As much as we argue, I love him. And Chris Ivey, they're just amazing. And Alan is such an amazing person and really good to talk to. And you learn a lot every time you talk to him. And all the other cast and characters that we meet at cons, it's just amazing time. But I wanted to say that we created our first scripts, me and Bomer. And Chris Campbell was kind enough to try to draw the first page of each, so I have a page. And Chris is pretty fast. He's pretty talented. He even drew one scene while he was walking, which is amazing, a silhouette scene. And I'll have to post it. But he captured everything I wanted on the page. Exactly. It's for the guesser, which I've scripted like 4 pages to date. And I need to finish it. And he scripted part of Bill's The Licker. So we're on our way to, it might take a while to get it published and stuff to go, but we're on our way and making progress. So I was really happy with what Chris did for me. It was a lot of fun to write it, and then it was even more fun to see him interpret what I wrote on panel and see his layouts. And I think Chris like knows me, like he's got a feel for what I'm going after and stuff just from listening to the podcast, because he did draw like First and Ah, which is another comic I was writing, and he got that all off of Geek Brunch, which is the other podcast I do. So yeah, it was such a good time. We even had a lot of fun, like it. And I got to meet Russ, which was really cool, from Gotham by Geeks, because I hadn't met him before. I got to meet Martin, and I saw Pedro again and Jonathan. Those are all Valiant people I've met through Valiant Podcast or Valiant Postings. And they're all amazing, and so many other people that I'm just not gonna remember to say on this podcast, because I don't script any of it. But Jim Dietz and Renee, I saw them and hung out with them. So many people that I'm gonna forget. Brandon, who's a fan of DC Noise, I got to meet up with him again. I met up with Glenn. So many people. Jerry, got to meet Jerry for the first time. I broke her shield. She was Spider-Gwen with a cap shield, kind of like from the movie. And da, 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 da. I probably forget some people that we ate with, but we had some really good meals and discussions. And Knutson, I forgot Knutson showed up. And even though he was there for very little, we got to go to the bar and have a few drinks and appetizers, or meals actually. And we got to see him again in the morning, which is really cool. I wish we could have seen him more, but he was on vacation, so he had to take care of other stuff. And so really, all of DC Noise was there, all of Geek Brunch, including Micah, who was part of the podcast and didn't seem too interested to do it anymore once he came back from Japan. But Bill and Ivy from Retro, and so and then Russ, Daryl, and Chris from Gotham by Geeks. I mean, it was like all the podcasting brothers were there. So it was an amazing time. And now I'm going to start this episode, and on the other episode I'll talk about like what some of my purchases were. I didn't purchase a lot of like new stuff, but I did purchase some older books from Tomorrow's Treasures that I'll talk about in the future. Let's see. I purchased Matt Kent's book. That was a fairly new publication that came from Dark Horse. It's an all ages book. I didn't even know about that, believe it or not. He wrote it. He didn't do the art, but I did go to one panel, and it was his. His panel was really, really good because he got some insight into like how he got started and some of the process that he does when he writes comics. And I learned a lot, even though I've been to a lot of Matt Kent panels. This one wasn't Valiant focused. It was more on the process and how he came to write comics and work on comics. So that was really cool. And I picked up Luke Foster's comic, which is his first comic that's not a web comic or like a daily or weekly strip, and picked that up. I picked up Sean's Cash and Carry from what I picked up a Kickstarter version of that, not the Action Lab version of that. And I think that's pretty much it as far as new material goes. Jonathan gave me a signed a Valiant Free Comic Book Day comic, which is very cool of him because I just ran into him and he said, "Here, take this." So yeah, it was a really good time. I didn't spend a lot of time at the con, believe it or not. Spent more time away from the con than at the con, but it was a really good time. And we'll talk about the weekly purchases for the con and some of the other stuff on a future episode. And I'll probably be posting, at least to my Facebook friends, what the first page of my comic book looks like. Chris inked it. He penciled it, inked it, and lettered it, believe it or not. And he's got like a really good penmanship for lettering. Doesn't really use too much of a straight edge. He just is natural at drawing lines. So that was really cool. All right, and we'll talk to you in a bit. Welcome to another collector's segment. I just discovered 21 Pilots. Can you believe that? But I love their new CD. God, I just bought it, and man, is it good. I love the lyrics too, especially Stressed Out. It makes so sense. It makes so much sense. Like, if you could go back when times were much simpler, and now you're stressed out because you have to earn a buck, earn a living and stuff like that. I just love it. And then they had another song about I am have a real big pet peeve with potholes lately, because our city's doing a shitty job and they're blowing out people's tires. The rims are popping off. Not the ribs, the hubcaps, but they're really big holes, man. I mean, they're like craters. Looks like a little bomb fell in, but they have a song about that, about paying taxes to fix the streets. I just dig it. But let's get started with the collector's segment. We have some different ones. We went from Batman to now we're going to Captain Storm. We have PT Boat Skipper Captain Storm number 6, and this is a war hero. It has some guys shooting. It looks like a Japanese sub or some vessel shooting at him. And it says, they'll never. Captain Storm's in the water with a Tommy gun, holding somebody by the arm. And he's saying, they'll never make me let you go, Mac. Never. Like, he doesn't want to let this guy die. I should read this for Retrocast. And we got another PT Boat Skipper, Captain Storm. This one, they're on a PT boat, and they're fighting Japanese guys. And it says, TNT Tea Party aboard PT 47, the brawl that made the Pacific boil over. Really nice copy. We have a really old issue of Detective Comics. This one's not in too good shape.
As far as the book itself, it's a good shape, but the cover is very, like, it's got a lot of sun damage and discoloration. It's a 10-cent book. It's Detective 295. It's got one of the, like, a weird beast. Kind of looks like, God, what was that cartoon? The Herculoids. You know how they had that one Triceratops-looking thing that would shoot things out of its horn? Well, this one kind of looks like that, roughly. And Batman and Robin are on this planet. There's a lot of space adventures in Batman at this time. It says, Batman, the same beast as on the ancient Egyptian painting, but how could somebody in the past predict you'd be fighting this creature today? We got Detective Comics 240, and Batman is on trial with a lie detector on him. And it says, featuring the outlaw Batman, he's in a court. Somebody has a lie detector attached to him, and the guy is saying, "You say you're Batman and you didn't steal those jewels, but the lie detector shows you're lying." Batman's saying, "But that's impossible. I am Batman. I'm telling the truth." We have Detective Comics 280. This one is Batman and Robin and the Menace of the Atomic Men. And Batman and Robin looks like their Batmobile's getting a van like hit by the Atomic Men, and it's making it vanish as they're running to it. And Batman says, "The Atomic Man's eyes have turned the Batmobile into glass. Get back, Robin, before he does the same to us." We got Detective Comics. Ooh, this one's gonna be hard to read. I hate when they put the price tag over the number. Never do that if you're a shop. You got Detective Comics 305. This one has another alien creature, and it has like Batman on one of those circular things that you spin. Batman and Robin are on there as he's shooting a gun, and it's got other creatures, and Batman and Robin are running towards it, even though they're inside of the spin dial. It's weird. It says, "We're too late, Batman. He's already fired at our life force figures, and now we're doomed to die in seconds, the way those alien beasts did." We have Detective Comics number 318. I really like this cover. It has Catman on the cover. It's a 12-cent issue. It's got Batman saying, "Great Scott, Batwoman has joined forces with Catman and become Catwoman." And it says, an extra long Batman adventure, The Catman Strikes Back." That looks really cool. I've always liked Catman, especially lately. Since Gail Simone took over him as one of the Secret Six and stuff, she's just an amazing character. Detective Comics 323. This copy is pretty beat up. It's not. I usually don't get ones that are this beat up, but it's pretty bad. It's probably in the G range. This character, it's not only in the G range, but it looks like somebody took a pen and drew over one of the light figures, because this guy is like, he's like a Zodiac guy, and he's saying, "Beware the sign, the Gemini, the twins." And Robin says, "The twins from his costume have separated and become huge fiery missiles." And that's what they drew on, as the fiery missiles. We have Detective Comics. Man, the numbering on this is hard to read because of the color. It's on black on dark purple. It's Detective Comics 334. And Batman's going into a room, and these guys have like a tape recorder in there, and it's playing. It says, "Batman, this is Robin. Come in. I have a surprise for you." So they're playing this tape recorder so Batman will walk in the door and get shot. And it says, "One by one, Batman's most valuable possessions have been spirited away. The Batmobile, Batboat, Batarang, even Robin. Now Batman is on the verge of losing his greatest prize, the man who stole from Batman." Detective Comics 337. And it just has a caveman on ice, and Batman swinging towards him. And it says, "Featuring the Deep Freeze Menace with an extra backup of Elongated Man." We have Detective Comics 324, The Menace of the Robot Brain. And this robot is saying, "Ha ha ha, this is the end of Batman and Robin," as he has Batman and Robin in his eyes, like he's trapped in the robot and he's gassing them. we have almost done here. Batman 331. This is Detective Comics. It's got Elongated Man on the cover, Robin on the cover. It looks like they're in the wax museum, and they're being affected by the wax figures. And it says, Batman, Robin, Elongated Man in the Museum of the Mixed Up Men, a triple treat thriller. And Elongated Man is saying, Batman, help me. There are ghosts in this wax museum twisting me out of shape. Batman is saying, nonsense. There are no such thing, as he gets punched by one of the wax figures. We have Batman 373. This has Mr. Freeze chilling. And Mr. Freeze looks really weird. He's in a green costume. And it says, you're the world's greatest escape artist, Batman, so let's see how you get out of this trap. We have Detective Comics, another one, 378. This is a really cool cover. It has Robin punching Batman. It says, but it's on a newspaper. It's like the cover of a newspaper, and it says Batman and Robin split, and he's punching him on the newspaper. So that's it for this one, and get ready for some Mike M's Weekly Reads. Bye bye. Welcome to episode 30 of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Let's see, what are we going to talk about now? We're going to talk about the week of April 18th through April 24th. I'm doing a marathon here, so if they start to sound weird, it's because I'm trying to catch up a little bit. We had a 23 comics that week. We had a Zenoscope, had one. Paper Films had one, which is Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gary's Kickstarter thing. We had Overground had one, Marvel had two, Image had one, IDW had one, DC had five, Dark Horse had one, ARH had one, and Archie had nine. So really good distribution this week. Not a lot, though, as 23 comics. I was back from a trip, but I had a lot of work to catch up on, so I didn't read a lot. We had 3 out of 5s, 4 out of 5s, and 5 out of 5s. And we're going to start from the bottom in terms of least favorite and move to the top. So there was nothing that I did not like, which is good. The 3 out of 5s I liked, and we had a handful. We had 5 of those. We had Graduate number 4. This was the Overground one. I really like the art in this book. It's kind of what keeps me coming back for this one. But the issue was, like, she was in a convenience store and there was a robbery going on, and she decided she could stop the robbery, but only if she could change her costume. That was ridiculous, but I still enjoy it. There was one panel I had trouble with where it looked like she got her costume on because the guy made her undress in front of him in the convenience store. And then all of a sudden, it looked like they were both getting thrown out, or she threw him out the window, or she fell out the window, and I got really confused on what happened. But other than that, it was all right. We had Archie 649. If I remember correctly, this was before they started the new Archie, and this was Sabrina's cat at the zoo was talking to the lion, and she put a spell to get her lion friend free for a week, where she turned all of Riverdale people into animals, and everything was going ballistic, and it just spread throughout Riverdale. It started at the zoo and went throughout. It's a pretty good story. We had Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1. This is the new Marvel book. I don't watch the TV show because I couldn't get into it. I watched maybe 3 episodes and just didn't give it a chance after that. I was like, I'd rather read comics or do something else, or watch Arrow or Flash or Gotham or Lucifer or something. I do like Agent Carter, though, on the Marvel side. Really like that show, although it was canceled. We can talk briefly about cancellations. They canceled my CSI Cyber, which I spent a lot of time with my family lately back home, either at work or because of my dad's illness, and we watched a lot of CSI Cyber. And I became a fan of that show, and it just got canceled, along with Agent Carter. Supergirl got moved from CBS to, back to the CW, which is good. So we'll see some more Supergirl, which I'm happy about, probably with a budget about half of what it was before. But that's a good deal. So that was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. number one. We had Primal Force number zero. This was a group they called Laymans, I believe. It was a mystical group. Dr. Mist was in the Laymans, and he has to form a new team. This was coming out of Zero Hour. And I read this because I felt like reading Zero Hour books that week. And it has the Jack-O-Lantern from the Global Guardians. It has Red Tornado, a guy from Hong Kong called the Claw. Not the Claw that... Well, actually, this guy might be related somehow. But if you remember the Barbarian guy that DC Comics used to have called the Claw, maybe this guy is somehow related. I never thought about it. It has a golem. It has a character, a female like character called Meridian, who they really don't talk about her much in this one, but they're gonna end up being the new laymen, because all the other laymen are they're struggling with this mystical being, an enemy called Cataclysm, and they basically wanna not be laymen anymore because of this mystical being. They fear him, so they're kind of giving up their abilities to a new set of heroes, and Dr. Mist is leading them. So yeah, Primal Force, written by Steven Siegel and Ken Hopper. This was number zero. Cool issue. We have Batman 431, which may be the first Christopher Priest. This was a Daryl Taylor pick on Gotham by Geeks. Really good story. Really enjoyed that one. It was good to see Priest. And this one he was listed as James Owsley, which was prior to Christopher Priest. Then we get into the 4 out of 5s. We had Afterlife with Archie, which is a Sabrina issue. We had Jughead number 3, another solid issue of Jughead. We had the Disciple who we talked about. I keep saying Disciple, but it's Discipline number 1. This book... I really liked, but I had a lot of problems with it, and we had a great discussion on Geek Brunch with Bill Bomer on this one. I had a good time talking about this book, just because there were a lot of questions and stuff, and it's good to discuss stuff, you know, because some things that you might not get the first time, you get the second time, and then you discuss it, and things start to make a little more sense. Had a good time discussing that. Also on Geek Brunch that week, we talked about the House of Penance, which was the gun manufacturer, the Winchester House. I think it's the Winchester, but it might be another rifle. I can't remember. This is a house in California, I think San Jose, that I want to go to, because when the husband died of tuberculosis, the daughter died of something else. The woman kind of like became a recluse, and she had so much money, and she moved out to California, paid a lot of people to build this weird house that had doors to nowhere, stairs to nowhere, just really, really weird things that she did. And this is a fictional story of that, with a lot of mysticism in it, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. We had Godzilla Oblivion. This is when the scientists are back on Earth, and they're trying to figure out how to get back, either to bring more monsters back, like Godzilla, to help destroy Rodan, or get help from the other side on that devastated world. It was a good issue. Satan's Hollow, another issue we discussed on Geek Brunch, which has a Zenoscope book, which has to do with a a girl coming back to her town and trying to get her memories back, and two kids are missing, and they try to go help them, but it has to do with a cult. It was really well executed. We have Extreme Justice number 0. This was phenomenal. I enjoyed this. Booster Gold, Captain Atom, Maxima, Amazing Man. They want to find a new place to run their Justice League out of. And they found this mountain who used to be a military base, and they think it's abandoned, but there's a secret organization that's still in there. And there's also a glimpse of Ronnie Raymond. He's not a member of the team at this point, but he is dying of cancer from radiation poisoning. So really good issue. I really enjoyed it. That was when I was getting the 0 issues. We have Archie 660. This was really good. This was I got the variant cover, which was brilliant. It had like all of Archie's girls at a soda shop, you know, drinking soda and stuff. And it was really appropriate because this issue, Archie agreed to go on a date with every single one of them to a Josie and the Pussycats concert. And he had to figure out how to pull it off. And he made a bet that he could do it. And really enjoyed this issue. It's towards the end before they relaunched. We have Queen of the Vampires 2 and 3. This continues that vampire that's leading her people to conquer other clans. Really well done. The art is beautiful. The covers are beautiful. I'm enjoying it. If you like Conan the Barbarian and stuff, you would probably really dig Queen of the Vampires. We got Moon Knight number 1. This is the Jeff Lemire Moon Knight. Really well done. Really a lot of questions, but they're done in a form that you like want to know more. Issue 2's out. Look forward to reading that. Art by Smallwood is brilliant. The team is working really well together. We have from Archie Comics Black Hood number 2 and 3. We learn more about the new Black Hood and that character. Is it Black Hood? I think I fucked that up. I'm sorry. It should be Hangman number 1 and 2. Oh no, it was Black Hood. I'm getting confused between the two characters. No, this is Hangman. I'm pretty sure I read Hangman. Not, I'm behind on the other book. I don't know. The characters are so similar, the kind of. Hangman is really well done. I like Frank Thierry's take on this character. I just wish it was more regular. I wish the Archie heroes were more regular. They're going to lose momentum. They're going to lose fans because of the squirrel syndrome that a lot of people have in comics. It's, oh, the new squirrel. Ooh, and they get distracted, forget what they were reading before, and just switch. Got Captain Atom number 1 and 2, 4 out of 5. This is the first series of Captain Atom coming out of Crisis on Infinite Earths. Love this, man. Cary Bates, oh, God, it's just such a good story. He's actually a criminal, military criminal. At least he was framed for being one. And he agrees to an experiment that gives him these powers. And he does it from the 70s, and he ends up quantum jumping all the way into the current time. It was really, maybe it was the 60s into the current time. Really good story. Really like this comic. I really want to revisit it because I read it back in the day, and I forgot a lot. But really good stuff. 5 out of 5, Sex and Violence number 2. This was the second volume to the paper films. Had some stories in here. The first one was really bizarre. It was about this woman that would bring men home to the trailer park and then have the daughter seduce the man to see if the man would pass the test to be the new father. It was really bizarre. And then they had a really good war story, which Kyle Pettit of told me this was real historical stuff that they used to do. I asked the question on a podcast. And the Russians would train dogs to carry bombs to go underneath the Panzer tanks or the tanks in World War II, which was fascinating. And this was about the guy that trained the dogs trying to get back to his wife. Really good story. Enjoyed it quite a bit. 5 out of 5. I love the book. Paper films, never lets me down with Kickstarters. I expend a lot because I usually get the Amanda Connor thing, but I am always happy with the product I get, even though, and I think they treat Kickstarters right. Like some people will Kickstart it and then you could buy it in previews, but you can't do that with these books. So they're more of exclusive, and then they'll eventually, it takes a while for them. Like Retrovirus took like 2 years to get to Image. But we have Archie 5 and 7. Again, this is phenomenal. I really loving Archie, and especially the backups. I really like what Mark Waid does with that historical viewpoint. Thanks for listening, and this has been Mike M's Weekly Reads number 30. You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. Twitter is at Mike Myers Brunch, and please send feedback. Leave an iTunes review. I'd really appreciate it if you enjoy these shows. Let me know what you think, and I hope to hear from you. I'll talk to you again later. Bye.